Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
It's Growing in Grace, the podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Growingingrace.org. That is the place where you will find every single thing we've ever done podcast-wise. Again, growingingrace.org. Of course, these days, many, many different podcasting platforms to listen to us on. And if you would, we are not about the likes. You know, it doesn't matter to us, but algorithms and things on the different platforms, the more that something is liked and commented on, the more it gets out there. We don't spend any money on advertising or anything like that, so it helps at least a little bit if you like or comment, just for that reason. You know, we don't need to pat ourselves on the back or anything like that, but to spread the word a little more, sometimes that helps. So anyway, YouTube, we've got our podcast is on there, Spotify, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, and all of that, all of the places where you could listen to a podcast, you can find it there. And then every single one of our episodes is also at growingingrace.org. I am Joel Brizeke. This is Mike Kapler, who is with me. That's this guy right here.
Hey. How's everybody doing out there in podcast land? You know, sometimes life on this planet, in this world, it has its ups and downs, doesn't it? You know, maybe just life in general, things going on. It's not always good news, things that are going on. It could be, you know, things that you're struggling with on the spiritual front, emotionally or something like that. But we're here to be an encouragement to you and to try to work on bringing it all back to something that God did for his creation. And he did it through his son. And it looked like it was going to be something bad, turned out to be something good. Jesus Christ becoming a man, dying in our place, and bringing us to a place of perfection before God, where we're totally and completely accepted apart from what we do. Joel had a post not too long ago on social media. Let me just read this. It's not very long. God's righteousness, right standing with God, in other words, God's righteousness is not and never will be found in the law. The law does not reveal or show us God's righteousness. Romans 1 says that God's righteousness is revealed in the gospel apart from the law. One has to part from the law in order to know God's righteousness. It is only revealed and received as a gift by grace through faith. So let's bring this, Joel. Let me just work this in here a little bit and try to bring this to something that will maybe hit a little closer to home for those who are listening today. You referred to the law here. I think we can substitute that word law for works because we were never really under law.
Right.
When we talk about the Mosaic law, the stone tablets, and the 600-plus rules and statutes that go with all of that. And I know that the church in general will kind of pick and choose a very small amount of those and try to apply them to Christianity when that is going in the wrong direction, because the law couldn't give life. It could not reduce sin. It increased sin. It was the strength of sin. It was a ministry of death and condemnation. It was a ministry of bondage. And so God's righteousness will never be found in works. God's righteousness, of course, it's found in the person of Jesus Christ. But to put this another way, The only way to come to righteousness, the righteousness of God, right standing with God, is apart from works. And I'm talking about good and bad. You know, we talk about sometimes how we need to know the difference between good and evil. Well, that's going completely in the wrong direction. Completely in the wrong direction. That was the problem with Adam and Eve. They came to a place where they had an opportunity to know the difference between good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was not a good tree. It was not the tree that was going to bring life. It brought death. And yet that's usually where the religious people want to go, because we get so sin conscious. We want to focus on, well, how am I going to know that this is sin? I need to avoid sin. And we're just always, you know, trying to, the very thing we're trying to resist is the thing we end up getting attracted to. And it shouldn't be that way. And so with that said, Joel, I just wanted to get this conversation today started with being right with God happens apart from works, not because of works. And we'll talk about the good side of that when it comes to works, because I wonder how many times over the years that we've been doing this that I've made a statement similar to what I'm about to say. What you do does not identify who you are, good, bad, or ugly. But understanding who you are, understanding the identity we have in Christ through an inheritance, having become partakers of the divine nature, understanding this identity that occurs apart from works, that can change the things that you do. But we get them kind of mixed up there sometimes and twisted and tangled together, and then we end up it's with one foot in an old covenant and one foot in the new.
Well, you're just saying that we can just go out and do whatever we want to do, and it doesn't matter. That's really all you're saying.
Yeah. Oh, how many times have I heard a line like that before? You know, you could be the Apostle Paul and give the perfect explanation of the gospel, and somebody will come along and say, are you saying that, you know, that because we're saved by grace that we should go out and sin to, you know, as much as we want? Because Paul addressed that in the book of Romans, undoubtedly because people were suggesting that Paul was suggesting that.
That's the thing. That's why he brought that up, because people were saying they were basically either misunderstanding him or intentionally making what he said out to be what he wasn't saying.
And yeah, sin more that grace may abound.
Right, yep. And that's what people say, even to this day, that's what we're saying. And of course, nothing could be further from the truth. You know, what we do, the things that we do on this earth, in this life, it is important. It matters. The things that we do matter, but they do not identify us, and we are made righteous, as you've been talking about here. We've been made righteous with not just any old righteousness, but Paul says God's righteousness, even the righteousness of God. We've been made righteous with God's righteousness apart from our works, apart from anything that we do. In other words, the fact that we have been made righteous, Paul even says we've been made the righteousness of God. We've been made the righteousness of God apart from anything that we do. Nothing that we do, I'm just repeating myself just to make this point, that nothing that we do makes us righteous or takes away from the righteousness of God that we are and that God has given to us freely. And it's because it's his gift. It's his gift to us. I think that's what's hard for a lot of people to understand, is that, well, you know, when you talk about the law, you know, because Paul obviously was writing, a big part of his audience were the Jewish believers, and so they would have related to the law. And in Rome, at the end of Romans 9, he says that the Jewish people, they were pursuing righteousness by the law, but they hadn't attained it. Because you cannot attain righteousness by what you do, by the law or by any works. And yet, people who weren't even pursuing it, weren't even trying to be righteous, he's talking about the Gentiles there then, they found it. They attained to it. Why? Because he goes on to say, it's the righteousness of faith, the righteousness that comes only by believing, and it's God's gift. I think people have a hard time accepting that God freely gives his very own righteousness as a gift, that it really has nothing to do with what we do. Whether it was a Jew pursuing the law or a Gentile not pursuing righteousness at all, or anyone in between, if you have some sort of idea, some sort of thinking in your mind that you have to do something in order to please God, in order to be righteous, that idea, that attempt, those attempts will always fall short, will only end in guilt and condemnation. Jesus even talked to the Pharisees, you know, speaking, going back to the law again, you know, unless your righteousness, well, he was talking to his disciples, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. I mean, the standard for righteousness is perfection. He says, therefore, you shall be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. So if you're going to use your works, if you're going to use law, works, any attempt, anything, do anything to try to be righteous, to be right with God, to have his rightness, it's going to fall short, because the only way that it's attained is not by attaining it. It's by receiving it as his gift, his free gift.
You know, there are those who would accuse us, as we just mentioned, as Paul was also accused, of teaching some sort of message that gives people freedom to sin instead of freedom from sin. That's just lame brain talk, as the Three Stooges would say.
Lame brain.
Yeah. I mean, you just want to slap him alongside the head there and say, come on, listen to what we're saying. Because we've never even come close to saying anything like that. I understand you were joking around earlier in the program about it, but I understand people think they're hearing what they're not hearing. But so what you've got are these people who listen to some of this that we talk about. All we're trying to do is proclaim our testimony as that of believing that what Jesus did was sufficient,
right?
More than enough. That's all we're proclaiming. That's all we're teaching. That's all we're preaching. That's all that we want to share with you, is that it was enough. Embrace it. Allow God to bring it alive within your heart and mind, because there's so much to grow and learn in regarding this grace, this love that God has for you. It's incredible. Our testimony, we alluded to this a few programs ago, but our testimony should not be, I used to sin, now I don't sin anymore. I used to kill people, I don't kill anymore. I used to steal, I don't steal anymore. That should not be our testimony. It's not about the doing or the not doing. It's about what he has done. He is our testimony. And so when somebody says, my lifestyle is my testimony, that is an alarming contradiction to the gospel. It's scary when somebody says that. And they'll say a lot of the right things, like I mentioned before. They will say a lot of the right tidbits about being saved as a gift and all that stuff. But then they go on to contradict themselves by saying that what I'm doing makes me different and better than other people, including you. That's really what's coming across when somebody says it's my lifestyle instead of Christ is my life. Big difference there, I think, Joel.
Yeah, and it's obviously, it's very wonderful if a person has lived a certain lifestyle, they come to believe and they are born again and they receive the life of Christ and things change for the better. That's obviously a wonderful thing. So not to downplay that, but what you're getting at and what we're saying here is that that's not our testimony. The testimony is not what we did, not the change, not any change that happened in the way that we live. Again, that's all wonderful, but the testimony is Christ in us. I was once... The real testimony is I was once dead, and now I'm alive. Christ has made me alive. That was really the problem. That's why, you know, Paul talks about those who believe unto life, unto eternal life. We once did not have eternal life. Now we have it. We've received it as a gift. And what comes along with that, of course, is God's very own righteousness. It's his gift. And that's really the testimony. The testimony is, I received God's gift. Paul talked about in Philippians 3, he talked about it, he gave his testimony, and it's exactly the opposite. It's really the opposite of what so many people say today when they give their testimony. Philippians 3, Paul says, although I might have confidence in the flesh, he says, we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in what we do or what we have done. Though I might have confidence in the flesh. So he says, I could if I looked at it this way. If anyone thinks he has confidence in the flesh, look at me. Look what I did. I was circumcised the eighth day. I was of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But look at this, what Paul says. But what things were gain to me, that is in a fleshly sense, these I have counted loss for Christ. So Paul's testimony was, yeah, I used to actually be a pretty decent law-abiding, law-pursuing, righteousness-pursuing person, and I thought I was pretty good, but these things which were gained to me, I've counted them as loss. And so that I could, it basically says, so that I count them as rubbish, I count them as dung, so that I can have Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. And so while many people give their testimonies today, I used to do this, and now I do this. So look at all these good things that I do. Paul is saying, look at all the good that I used to do. I count that as rubbish so that I can have faith, so that I can have Christ and the gift of God's righteousness.
That is incredible. When you stop and think about the contrast between people's testimony today in the church world compared to what Paul just said there, where he said, hey, my lifestyle pretty much aligned with the law, and he referred to it as the flesh. That's pretty incredible stuff there, Joel.
Yeah, and it's interesting, the things that people think are spiritual and are really fleshly or of the flesh. And switching gears a little bit next week, but maybe staying sort of along the line of this, something else that people might think of as really spiritual, but really nothing more than a deed of the flesh, would be, get this, the practice of inviting God into our presence. Come, Holy Spirit, be with us. Why would we say that that is not a spiritual thing? Let's talk about that next week. Have you ever stopped to think about where God went if we're inviting his presence? Well, where was he? We'll talk a little bit about that next week.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brzezicki, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.